Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 170 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled The Book of Daniel, Lesson 13. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Now in Daniel, we start seeing these things happening because that God rules. And I struggled for a title today. I didn't struggle too long. I said, God Rules Part 3. That's your default when you don't know what to do. And you mentioned it's at hand. I was personally diagnosed with cancer 30 years ago, and I remember the feeling that it was just, this is too soon. And then I've had lesser things happen since then. And the feeling then was, it's just too soon. And I've noticed in life with my 67 years, it's like when everything happens now, it's just a little too soon. Or it could be I'm not quite ready. Because we see in the Scriptures, we're to be ready in any season, in season. Now, we're to be at a place of readiness. And what I have found is this place of readiness goes against my natural behavior. It goes against, to be ready means we must train, we must learn. And I have a great default in life. It's called laziness, believe it or not. I'll default to it because if it's kind of like, if you don't have to do it, why do it? But we're living in a day that readiness is going to mean everything. Because if we're not ready, these things in this life will overtake us. They will feel like that they're too soon, that they're here, and they're not quite time. Now, I want us to look as we do part three, and by everything within me, this will be the last part of part three. God rules the whole earth, and with the sovereignty of God, I don't know how to say it really, other than just to try to say it. To walk in as close to 100% as you can, that God rules and He's in charge. To walk in that place of being convinced determines everything that comes out of you. To the percentage that you believe that is the equal percentage of the courage and the conviction that you have about what this book says. And to go with that is, you know, we're all, I guess, in a struggle somewhat of giving over more of our lives to Christ. We're fighting against flesh, as Nebuchadnezzar did, and we have this constant fight. But there is something to consider. To the percentage of your life that you have given over to God is the percentage of the kingdom that you can experience. There is a gain in giving ourselves over to the kingdom of God. And you know that this world we're in today, with all of its gadgets and everything, this world that we're in today, it is hard to be successful and to deny your own selfishness at the same time. So we say, how do we walk? How do we live in this fight between, let's say, success and being in the kingdom? And truthfully, it's a dilemma of giving over of ourselves. And Nebuchadnezzar was having problems with that, and trusting God and giving God the glory. But yet, we see that he did come to the conclusion of it. And the reason is God rules. That's why he came to the conclusion he did. Now, I chose another scripture today just to begin with, and we'll jump right in a little bit of an overview and try to finish this thing up. But it's in Isaiah, because once you start seeing that God's trying to make a point that he does really rule, that God did really create us and everything that's here, there is to have a level of convincingness that is true, and to walk in that when you can declare this Bible, this book, as a history book, or you can declare it as truth because God said it, and you know he rules. There's two different ways to present it. There's a historical account, which it is, and the other one is because you have this convincingness so that he says it. Now, let's look at it in Isaiah here quickly. I'm not going to spend much time here. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Isn't it clear that God created the world? Now, if you notice, this is not King James. I just like this little translation here. Haven't you heard? Isn't it clear that God created the world? God is the one who rules the whole earth, and we that live here are merely insects. He spread out the heavens like a curtain or an open tent. God brings down rulers and turns them into nothing. They are like flowers freshly sprung up and starting to grow. But when God blows on them, they wilt and are carried off like straw in a storm. So I think the writer here is trying to make a point. Verse 25, he goes on to say this. The holy God asked, who compares with me? Is anyone my equal? Look at the evening sky. Who created the stars? Who gave them each a name? Who leads them like an army? The Lord is so powerful that none of the stars are ever missing. I like that. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Verse 28 goes on to say, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail. You see that? He gives power to who? To the weak. And to those who have no might, he does what? Increases. He increases strength. Well, that's either true or it's not true. But I submit to you, the greater you're convinced that God rules everything, the stronger you'll be in your weakness. See, what it does, people are wanting more faith. They just don't know how to go get it. The way you get more faith is you're convinced more that God rules. That convincingness that God rules is what produces more faith in you to believe God. Now, goes on here just a little bit more. I'm sure what we just read leads into this verse. But those who do what? Wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and what? In other words, he was saying all this stuff about himself, who he is and who God is and that he rules. And then he said all of that not to puff himself up. He said all that to end on this last verse. God said all about himself that he said so he could say to us, but those who wait on the Lord. So we find there our posture in waiting on more faith. How do I get more faith? I wait on the Lord. What is waiting on the Lord? It's faith in action. Faith in action is waiting on the Lord. The greater the wait, the greater the faith. Now, when you wait on the Lord and gain a measure of faith, it doesn't leave you in the next situation. You have just gained more faith in life. God will not take it away. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So where do you get your strength renewed? It's in the waiting. You remember that song I think they came out with here not long ago? It's in the waiting. You see, you get your strength during the waiting. You say, well, Lord, I want more strength. I want more strength. I want more courage. I want more of this. And God says, okay, I'm going to let you go wait a while. That's not what we were thinking, was it? I'm going to let you go wait a while. Well, I'm waiting on God to show up and do this and do that. Okay, wait a while. You're gaining strength. You see, if we look at it like, well, I can barely hang on, we're ignoring the strength that's being given to us. We've got to understand and accept the spiritual moment we are in. God said all that He said in chapter 40 to get to this one verse. Those that wait upon the Lord shall mount up, they'll renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Now, what does that mean? That means you're flying above all of your circumstances and you can see real well from there. When we fly above our circumstances, we see well from there. Can anybody hear what the Lord's saying? Yeah. We must. What causes, according to these verses, what causes us to fly? What causes us to fly is to trust the Lord. To trust the Lord means I'm not trusting me. I'm trusting the Lord. Now, when I trust the Lord, something happens. There is a supernatural experience of a wind of the Holy Spirit upon your face and your life in the waiting. I know people want some fresh baptism of the Spirit, and I'm all for it. I do too. But when I use the biblical pattern for an infilling of the wind of the Spirit of God, the biblical pattern is not like I thought. But it's real and it's true. So in the waiting, is where God will issue the strength and the wind will come under my wings of the Spirit. I'll be able to soar like an eagle. And I have people have said to me, say, Alan, I want to become a seer. How can I be a seer? Well, right there's the verse. Right there's the verse. That's where you go to the Scriptures, and if you wanted to be a prophet, you're not reading the same book I'm reading. Because prophets usually had a something called on them by the Lord that nobody else wanted to do. They pretty much fought it their whole life, but yet they said, thus saith the Lord. But they could see real well. So before you can have the eagle eye of a prophet and see what the Lord's saying, you must learn the ability to rise above your circumstances and trust God. That, I don't know who that's for. It's for somebody. We must. It's not negotiable. Now here's the good news. It's achievable. You see, you're convinced it's not achievable, but it is achievable. You can say, well, this is just the way I am. I'm fighting. Rise above your circumstance. Trust God. He will blow wind into your lungs. Trust me, when God blows into you, it brings life. And you'll be able to see what the Lord is doing. And it says, they shall walk and not faint. Now, I just wanted to throw in this verse here. I can't really give you a good reason other than God said, do it. So it must be for somebody to understand and for our level of God ruling to raise. Now, again, I don't want you to miss this part with Daniel. Daniel was a man who prayed. And I've been very honest as I know how. There's two things that I want to spend the rest of my life trying to discover. The first one is how to pray. And the second one is to understand more of the person of the Holy Spirit. Two things. I felt like up to this point in my life, I just run so fast or run wherever that I have not stopped and really just tried to barrel in on two things. One is prayer, and the other one is the person of the Holy Spirit. So Daniel, who is Daniel? Everything that happened in the book of Daniel came out of Daniel was a man who did what? He prayed. Now understand something about prayer. Prayer is not preparing God to do our shopping list. Prayer is preparing us to hear what God has to say. It is a two-way conversation, we can say, but we want to rise above and to hear what God says. Daniel was so in tune in prayer with God that he could tell a man his dream and had never heard it. Not only did he interpret it, he told him the dream and interpreted it. Why? Is it possible for you and I? Yes, it is. Now, we want to take this away. If you take anything away from Daniel, please take away that he prayed. And please consider what I'm saying. There's more to prayer than we have all run into yet. There's more to prayer. So, now we see in Daniel chapter 4, 1 through 16, this is where Daniel had a tree dream. Then in verses 18 through 25, we see that the tree vision is interpreted. Then we see in verse 28, the king makes a decision based on that dream, which most of you are totally familiar with. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar, it said in verse 28. All right, here was the king's problem. In verse 26, we see that the king had a problem, and whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. It's all the way through in the book of Daniel, but also mainly in chapter 4, of where Nebuchadnezzar's problem was, he wasn't identifying that God rules. Now, what's the problem in our nation today? We are forgetting God rules. The earth gives a testimony that God rules. I've said this before. This is what year? 2020. The whole world uses the year 2020. Well, 2020 of what? It's 2020, 2020 years since Christ. So the whole world gives testimony, operates off of this calendar system, and it starts with Christ. So God's got His marks everywhere. Everywhere. We see these symbols, and how many people have an Apple phone? You got permission to pull it out? Look on the back of it. You'll see something on the back of it. What do you see?
We got a case on it.
Oh, you got a case. It won't work. You're good. Does anybody see an apple?
Oh, I got that on my
front. You got that on your front. Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, it's an apple because it's an Apple phone. But it's also an apple with a bite out of it. Does that tell you anything? It's an apple. It's talking about the apple in the garden. You didn't know that Steve Jobs was that spiritual, did you? He said when he came down to the name of apple, that term came out of the knowledge of good. In other words, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He wanted something you could hold in your hand that you'd have the knowledge of the world. So therefore, he's named it apple with a bite out of it. Now that's just a symbol, you can say. Come on, prophetic people, that's a symbol. Where do you know? You know your scripture. There'll be a time that knowledge shall increase. I mean, you've got in your hand the knowledge of the world, and the symbols are everywhere. So, as a prophetic people, we learn to understand words, but we read symbols. The world is nothing but one big ball of symbols. That's the reason when you get to the scriptures, he said, well, you can have faith, but you show me faith without works, and I'll show you something that's dead. What are the words? They're the symbol of the faith. So which is more usable, your word faith or the symbol of faith? Everything's symbolic here. This is what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel understood symbols. He understood that they had meanings. And perhaps we'll get more into symbols as we move on. Key thing, though, to understanding symbols, to seeing symbols, to reading symbols, is you have to do it out of the mindset that God rules. And I know y'all are probably so tired of hearing me say that. But it is so huge. It is just, I mean, I can't, everything prophetically comes out of agreeing with that in your heart, not your head, but your heart. And when you truly get it in here that God rules, the prophetic totally comes alive. All of a sudden, you'll see it everywhere. Now, of course, we see here that because of Nebuchadnezzar's decision, it says immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. You all know what happened. He lost his mind. And I use this as I'm ending this up. We'll hit it just a little bit again of how the king was restored. Now, you know the verse. Now, I'm saying this again because I'm leading somewhere with it. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and reason, sanity returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. Now, the reason I guess I use this verse quite a few times is I have said here before that I've spent a lot of time in mental hospitals, not as a patient yet, but as a... my mother was in and out of mental hospitals a lot. She had some challenges. She was a genius of a lady. She taught me how to hear God. But yet I spent a lot of time there. And so spending time there, the terminology and the reality of crazy is perhaps not the same one as most people would have. Most people think crazy is when you have lost all of your faculties and you're acting in some bizarre way. I submit to you, when you lose your temper, you're acting in a bizarre way. I submit to you, when you're selfish, you're acting in a bizarre way. I submit to you, when you steal something that does not belong to you, that you're acting in a bizarre way. I submit to you, when you're jealous of someone, that you're acting in a bizarre way. I submit to you that the jealousies and the slander of and backbiting, when we do these things, we're acting in a bizarre way. We are insane. Now, it's important to understand that Nebuchadnezzar's insanity didn't start where he ended. Now, what happens in the faith and in spiritual things is once we go insane, your spiritual growth stops. You have to come back at your last point of revelation to start again. Where insanity starts, revelation stops. How do you know you're there? And I've said this before, because you think you're the smartest you've ever been. And when you think you're the smartest you've ever been, you never had it together this good. You've lost your revelation. So as a prophetic people, the key to the revelation is to understand how far from insanity we all are every day. Insanity being disagreeing with God. This is what insanity is. Insanity is carrying on a type of thinking that disagrees with God. And the way we fight that is because it's an internal conversation. What is sin? Disagreeing with God. That's really what it is. Sin is disagreeing with God. That's all. That's it. I say that's all. I'm not trying to minimize it, but I'm just saying, come on, this is easy. Sin is disagreeing with God. Sin is acting insane for a moment. If you don't believe it, turn on TV. And we like to watch movies and everybody's running around, they're insane. I'm like, I can't enjoy this. I can't enjoy this. You know, I have a hard time enjoying just a fiction movie. You know, people, because I have this paradigm of sanity and insanity. And it just messes me up, I guess. And so, but it's important for the people of God to understand, don't think somebody else is crazy when you're in sin. Don't think that. God, you see, that's the reason the Apostle Paul, he says that you want to renew your mind. He says it like this, take every thought captive. He didn't say one out of ten. He said, take every thought captive. That means you're in a battle. You got to capture some enemy. And the enemy's your own stinking thinking. Are you with me? But we have tremendous hope. And the hope is that this book right here, this book, the Word of God, God's Word, God Himself, has given us permission to choose His ways over our ways. Yes. We can deny our own selfishness that Christ might live. Now, I've got this stinking feeling it's going to be a good trade on our part. Anybody with me? I got this feeling the more we trade up to God, the more we give Him our stinking thinking, the more we repent, the more we're humbled, I got a feeling that the reward is so outlandish that we're going to think, what was I thinking? Anybody ever had one of those? What was I thinking? So here lies the problem with Nebuchadnezzar. He says, my reason, now watch it, raise my eyes towards heaven and my reason or my sanity returned to me. Well, it returned to him when he raised his eyes towards heaven. His heart was towards God. I got a feeling that when we as a church and as a people raise our eyes towards God, I got this feeling there's a whole lot more download than we're getting. Does anybody else get this? I mean, I'm not trying to be spooky about it, but I'm telling you there's more download to the kingdom of God than we're yet to get. And so that's the reason I believe that the people of God, as we line ourselves up with heaven, lining up with heaven means you have positionally put yourself in a situation towards heaven, that we can receive. And receive is not talking yourself into something mentally. It's a true receiving. What's in this book is experiential. Yeah. It is just experiential, what is in this book. And I confess to you, an open confession, I have experienced very little of it. But I also make another confession. I'm going to be the first one there to get it. I'm going to be in front of you. You're going to have to run after me. Because I'm going for all it's got. Because I am convinced that God rules, and I'm convinced He wants His church empowered more than we're experiencing. I'm convinced that He's wanting more of the lost saved. I am convinced because He rules, He wants to heal more of the sick just to show off, if no other reason.
Come on.
I am convinced. That's what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. But God had to take him to a point. Listen, you got two choices. We can either take Nebuchadnezzar's road and experience insanity and eating grass, or we can read this book and believe it. Two choices. But I want to tell you something. You're going to come to the same conclusion whether you do it Neb's way or the book's way. Because God rules.
That's right.
And He has promised to perform something in every one of us. And I'm here to declare this is good news, even though it sounds bad.
It's good news.
That God's going to perform it because He's promised it. I got to think that God sort of gets a tickle out of us reading the book and believing Him versus having to take an old rocky road. Don't you? I've had enough rocky roads to know I want to read the book. But I'm persuaded that we can read this book. I'm asking God to give us the faith to believe this book. And He spoke to me, and when I started this study, and He said, Alan, just believe that I'm running the whole show.
Come on.
Just believe that I rule. Just have peace that I rule. And then I've learned anything that we do, we're going to do it in the name of Jesus because He rules. So let's stand and we'll pray. Lord Jesus, we love You. And Lord God, I ask and pray that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You'll forgive us of our insane thoughts. Forgive us, O God, for our insanities, for our disobedience, for our barbaric behavior. God, please forgive us. And Lord Jesus, it's our prayer that You'll fill us with Your Spirit, You'll fill us with Your hope. And it is our prayer, oh God, that I pray that we'll have more revelation of prayer. You'll send us more revelation of what is prayer. And I pray, oh God, that You'll send us and give us more experiences and understanding of Your Holy Spirit, that Your kingdom might be experienced upon the earth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.